in the proper last gospel of the Mass for the Pentecost Sunday, St. Matthew writes, "Seeing their faith, our Lord said to them, 'Be of good heart.' In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen." Yesterday, the feast day of the Little Flower, she promised to spend her eternity in heaven doing good upon earth, to let fall to earth a shower of roses. And here we are today, Rosary Sunday. It is then for us this year, a rose weekend. I told the little group we had yesterday for the Mass, for the feast day, and for First Saturday, about a wonderful miracle I've just now read about, just in the last few years, that the little flower gave, a rose, if you will. There was a couple that had adopted a child from Central America. This little boy was severely abused as a baby and grew up very violent, a danger to his siblings, and hateful, terribly hateful. They took him to see different doctors, his parents did, and he was diagnosed. They always have a diagnosis today. It's called RAD, Reaction Detachment Disorder. But the long and the short of it was that no doctor offered up any hope. The mother turned to the little flower, and the parents made a pilgrimage to Lisieux. And just as she was finishing praying, the mother turned to say goodbye to St. Thérèse, and she noticed, it seemed like there were tears on the cheek of the statue. And then she walks up to the statue, and the little crook in her arm was full of water, even though it was an outdoor statue and a very dry, sunny day. She reaches her handkerchief, and she dabs three tears from the statue's cheek, and then the tears disappear, as does the water. She goes home, having begun a novena, and as people will, she asks the little flower for a rose, a yellow rose. Almost immediately, they had yet another doctor's consultation. He held out no hope for them. He said, "In my 20 years of dealing with children like this, I haven't seen any miracles." They left the doctor's office. They get into the elevator. Remember, Little Flower loves elevators. She said she was going to take an elevator to heaven. They had just invented them. And that's her way of the spiritual childhood. There's room for everybody on this elevator. She looks down at the floor. What does she see? The one yellow rose petal. And from that day on, nothing dramatic, no bells and whistles, but just quietly, the child became less violent, stopped threatening, and actually became sweet and considerate of his parents and of others, very slowly, until finally the child had absolutely no more symptoms of this terrible disorder. And the mother one day asked the boy, the little boy still, "If you could get one thing from God, what would it be?" And he gave a remarkable answer. He said, "I would want my heart to be filled with the fire of the Holy Spirit." Prayers are heard. And I love to tell this story because it shows that although the Novus Ordo has no valid priesthood or mass and that teaches false doctrine, and there's no hierarchy there either, nevertheless, God loves those people and still hears their prayers. In September, we had the feast day of a great saint for giving alms to the poor and the needy. He was himself a very poor Augustinian friar, St. Thomas of Villanova. He became the great Archbishop of Valencia in Spain and had a huge income at his disposal. Never spent a penny on himself, gave it all away. People lined up each day, the needy. One day the police come to see him and they say, "See here, Archbishop, some of those people, you know, they're drunks, they're layabouts, the people who refuse to work, and the rest." And he said, "My job is to give alms to the poor. Your job is to sort out the criminals and to deal with them. You do yours, and I will do mine." What makes us think, judge, that there are some who are just not worthy to be heard by God? Please don't ever put yourself or someone else in that category. It is a sin against the spirit of the holy childhood. The child doesn't know. The child looks for, and he asks, and he receives. On this weekend of the roses each year, our volunteers in the sacristy the last couple of days have been cutting off the thorns on the roses many of you have purchased to be blessed. We cut off the thorns first. Do you? If you will not cut off those thorns, I'm afraid they will end up on Jesus' head or encircling Mary's heart. This same kind of spirit, which surprises us, is found in an incident in the life of Padre Pio. There was a crown of the Virgin Mary whose jewels had been stolen by a thief. And it was the talk of the town, and someone, of course, asked Padre Pio about it. And, of course, he was a mystic. He knew what was going on. "What do you want me to say?" he answered. "That poor young man was probably hungry, and he went to Our Lady to say, 'Blessed Mother, of what use are these stones to you?' And probably Our Lady gave him the jewels." Silly him, though, to have been caught with the goods in his pocket. The science, the knowledge of the saints, how different from us. The people in today's last gospel go to our Lord with a man who's got palsy, can't walk anymore. They go with faith. You and I, too, surely, with great faith, but we must go with charity as well. And you have to remember that about yourself as well as for others. Why shouldn't you receive your miracle? This is the weekend of the roses. Today, we send our roses up, even as yesterday they came down from the little flower. This is how, I have a second story, also from no doubt Novus Ordo people, I have a second story for you to show how the Blessed Mother works, not only for temporal, but for eternal goods, for souls. We are all of us her children. This took place several years ago. It was the proverbial dark and stormy night. There was a major nor'easter, as they say, that was blowing up. The wind was going to get up to about 60 knots. A woman living in rural Massachusetts was terribly worried that night about her husband, who was in the Coast Guard, guarding the New York harbor. As the wind got worse and worse and the storm blew so fiercely, she began to pray, "Dear Lord, please keep my husband and keep us safe." But she couldn't sleep. She tossed and she turned, and all she could see was an image of disaster. She got a book, she turned on the light, she tried to read, she couldn't focus on the words. She had a premonition that her husband's life was in danger. It was almost midnight. She reached to her bedstand for her beads. She began to pray the rosary. In a moment before, she had been shaking and crying just as the house itself was shaking under the force of the wind. "Please, Blessed Mother," she prayed, "ask Jesus to save my husband." And at each decade that she prayed, her fear diminished. And when she was finished, she knew he was safe. And she thanked God and Our Lady, and she fell asleep in peace. The next morning, she was trying to get the water out of the basement when her husband called, just to check on them. And she casually asked him, "Did anything happen to you last night? Well, say, especially around midnight?" "Well," he said, "yes. with a kind of a tone of voice as if to say, "How do you know?" I was on the deck, he said, trying to lash down some of the gear, when suddenly my feet just flew out from under me. And the ship was at an angle, and I started to slide, and I knew that if I ended up in the water, I wouldn't survive very long. And just at the last moment, I managed to grab a stanchion. And he was quiet on the phone for a moment or two, and then his voice was very somber as he concluded, "It was very close. I almost died." And then she told him her story of how she felt so powerless to help him. But even before she finished her rosary, she knew that he was all right. And the husband thanked his wife for praying for him. And here I didn't think there was anything more I could do to help you. Thank God and the Blessed Mother. Because in the darkest night, it's easy to make the comparison here, when the storm is at its worst, Almighty God throws each one of us a lifeline. If you only will grab onto it with the firmness of your faith. But please, when you pray and as you live your day, hold it gently with the gentle touch of charity. Do not begrudge yourself or your neighbor the miracle of salvation, the miracle of a life saved, a situation turned around, someone who was sick restored to health. All you have to do is hold on. The era of miracles is not in the past any more than the era of the rosary is in the past, or the era of the saints. The Novus Ordo is beginning to rediscover all of these truths. And by these means, Our Lady saves souls, and she helps out all of those who turn to her in distress. Roses. There are roses everywhere, coming down from heaven, going up, and some you'll find in St. Teresa's elevator. Look at the rose you hold. It has no thorns. It is a rose from God.